Exodus chapter 20. While you're turning there, we're actually, when we start the book of Genesis, we're looking at the beginning of the Word of God. And if you've ever picked up a book and started in the middle of the book or toward the end of the book, you miss the whole point if you don't start at the beginning. Now, I never tell anybody to start reading in Genesis when they just are picking up the Bible or they're brand new saved, because there is so much stuff in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, that is just so new. So I want them to get and start with something familiar, with Jesus and with heaven and hell and sin and righteousness. And that's where I start them. But that's not where you build your foundation of your faith. Your faith is built upon Genesis. You don't just go and say, well, I like Matthew. I like Luke. I like Romans. Well, amen. They're all great books. But you've got to start with Genesis at some point. That's where faith begins. Every word of God is pure, the Bible says. There's not one that's better than another. So Exodus chapter 20, while you're turning there, we're actually studying the very beginning of everything. It's called creation. And I'm going to tell you, as opposed to what evolutionists say and what modern scientists say, and by the way, modern scientists are not always right. You should read some of these books. I've got a book in my office on I forget what the title of it is, but it's basically the science that has been proven wrong. All of the things that scientists start off saying, and then they had to backtrack and go, we were wrong. And they say, well, that's the point of science. Yeah, I appreciate that until I'm the one that's the beneficiary of their wrong. So when I come to the Bible, I actually take it literally. I take it's all. If the Bible, let me say this, if you take away Genesis, like most churches have, you ready? You take away Genesis, you take away male and female. Did you see the verse we read this morning?
Yeah.
God made a male and female. You take away Genesis, there's no wonder they got 56 different editions of humanity. They can't make up their mind on their gender because they got rid of the pattern. They got rid of the truth.
Yeah.
So when we come to the Bible, I'm going to tell you, you say, well, I believe differently. You believe whatever you want. You can be wrong if you want. But the Bible says that it all happened in just 6 days. And I don't even have to go to Genesis to prove it. Go to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. And I read for years, I read Dr. Carl Sagan, and I read Charlie Darwin's book. I read all these things, and their numbers were always, always growing from millions to billions and billions of years. And they finally settled on saying that the earth was created somewhere around 4.5 billion years ago. And the universe itself started about 13 billion years ago. But let me tell you what God says. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 9. Exodus 20, verse 9, it says, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. All right. Some people might wonder, well, how can we have 30-day months and 31 days? Well, that's because a bunch of Caesars all argued and popes argued about how many days we go into a month. But you ever wonder where the number 7 came from for our week? That came from God. That's the 7-day week started all the way back in Genesis. 6 days you work, and 1 day you rest. Here comes Exodus. Look down to verse 11. Exodus chapter 20, verse 11. For in 6 days, the Lord made heaven and earth. He didn't say 6 million years, does it? Doesn't say 6 billion years. In 6 days, the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is. And he rested the seventh day. Wherefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So when we come to the Bible, I just take it what it says. And, you know, we just believe it. And I don't blindly believe it. When I first got saved and I started reading my Bible, I mean, it's all beyond me, man. And I just took it and I said, well, I'm going to have to check that out. But right now, I'm just going to enjoy it. And as I read my Bible through as a new Christian, it's just all over my head. But I started reading and I started studying, and there's something about being a born-again Christian, looking at the world and coming to conclusions that's different than when you don't know God. It's called worldview. And we're not arrogant. A Bible believer doesn't believe all scientists are stupid and that they're wrong about everything. But a Bible believer believes the Bible because we are careful. We are patiently studying and learning. We think outside of the boxes that the world provides for us, and we let evidence become clear. And the first evidence is what God said. See, I don't close the Bible and try to find God. I'll never find him. I've got to have an open Bible. It's one point of evidence. And I let the evidence show me, and I follow the evidence to the end, and I found God. Amen. So never throw away your Bible. Always, rule number one, give your Bible the benefit of the doubt. He said, I don't know how Jesus walked on the water. Give him the benefit of the doubt until you can absolutely prove that nobody could ever walk on the water. Now, I know Jesus did because he's God. Amen. But I believe the Bible. And I have found that the Bible is right time after time. I give this illustration. Up until about 1850, there was a place in the Bible called Ur the Chaldees, spelled U-R. It's not shorthand in text, by the way. Ur the Chaldees. And they never found it. And so everybody who read the Bible would read about a city that nobody knew where it was or whether it was really real. That is, until they were digging for a train track going through Iraq or wherever it was. And as they're digging that train, they're in about 50 foot of sand. And as they're digging, I mean, they got all these men digging. As they're digging, bang, the shovel hit a milestone marker. And they brushed it all away and it said 2 kilometers to Ur. And they found a sign announcing that they were headed into a city, a ruined city called Ur. And they found it in 1850. And here's the point. Allow that the Bible, give it the benefit of the doubt until it's proven wrong. Because it's always proven right. That's the point. It's not that it doesn't have evidence. It has plenty of evidence. By the way, let me say this. Faith is not stupid. Even creation faith is not stupid. You know what creation faith is? I just believe what God said. And that when he said it, he meant it. When it said that he created the earth in 6 days, guess what I believe? He created it in 6 days. Yes. Now, I don't know how everything came to exist. I just know the revelation that God gave me. But long before telescopes, go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews hit long before telescopes, microscopes, and particle accelerators, which is the big thing today. Mankind has had a book that told us how everything was created. You see, we think we're the bee's knees. We think we're the pinnacle of human accomplishment. Let me tell you, what about all the people before us? What about thousands of years? I mean, what truth did they have until we could find out what a gluon and a muon and a quark and an upside down muon, all this, before they could figure out all that stuff in a particle accelerator, where was truth? Right in your hand. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, through what? Say it real loud. Through faith, we understand that the world was formed by the word of God. So the things which are seen, I mean, I'm looking at you, were not made of things which do appear. So the things that are here came out of something that wasn't visible, came from God, and it came out of nothing. We believe it. Go to Romans. Well, just remember Romans 7:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If I come to that Bible with faith, I will only grow in my faith. And faith is not stupid. I can actually know more than all my teachers. And I have. Not that I'm smarter, but I found the truth. If a teacher in school starts saying things like, you can be whatever gender you want to be. I know more than you. I don't do that. But you want to. You know, there's only two of them, and the rest of them are all mentally unstable. So creation and creation faith gives us a right worldview. That means that we have the ability to look at rocks and animals, people, planets, and we see it as intelligently designed. When we look at the Bible, we look at the world through the Bible, we see things differently than somebody who looks at it through man's idea of evolution. I mean, we're looking at the same things, and I go, wow. God designed all this. Evolution says, wow, what a bang. And that's all they can conclude. We believe in Almighty God, and the evolutionist says Almighty dirt. We have a different worldview. That is very important, because when you take away the Bible, what you end up with is you see children as accidents. You see children as clumps of cells. I've actually had a woman tell me it's just the same as a wart. And you want to get rid of a wart, don't you? She said. That's what she thought about her pregnancy. You see, when you take away the Bible view on life, look at where it takes you. So it's two different worldviews. And when you come to the Bible, it sure does clear up your view of life. When I look at people, I don't care how wicked, I don't care how far away from God they are, I don't care how messed up they are priceless to God, and they are in the image of God. Yeah, it's marred, but they have an image of God that needs to be restored and can be restored by faith in Jesus Christ. So when we go to Genesis, I want to show you the revelation of the Trinity. We're going to finish that we started last week, Genesis chapter 1. And when you get there, we're going to pray. Genesis chapter 1. Heavenly Father, we bow our hearts in appreciation for the fact that we picked up a book. Maybe we picked it up from Eason's. Maybe somebody gave it to us. Maybe we came to church and somebody handed us a free Bible. Maybe we spent a lot of money buying us a Bible and we started reading it. And it is all exceptional. It is all unbelievable without the decision to believe you, without the ability to say, if you're God, I guess you did it. And I guess you took the time to write it down so that I would know you. We get caught up in creation instead of the creator. And I pray as we look through the book of Genesis, God, you would change our view of you and you'd humble us. God, we think we can make gods. We think we can fix our problems. We think we can just wiggle our way through life. And we can't fix death. We can't fix our heart. And you gave us a book that from start to finish shows us a God who is there, who cares, who has already done everything to repair and restore what's been broken by sin. I pray, God, as we go verse by verse through this book, God, we'd see the gospel in it. We'd see you in it. God, we look too much at ourselves. I pray we'd humble ourselves and say, God, show us yourself. Show us your glory. As we lift up the Lord Jesus Christ today, I pray you draw all men unto you and you'd save some as we start this message in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's look at Genesis chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. We started this last week, and I say it's the revelation of the Trinity. You know, when you start in Genesis, you start, as a Bible believer, you start with an empty universe being created, an empty planet called Earth. And then what's cute is when you start seeing it, it's not focused on the things, it's focused on the Creator, and he rolls up his sleeves and he begins to work. Let's see how he reveals himself, all right? Look in verse 1. Notice who's working. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So far, so good. Everybody sort of accepts that. Look at verse 2. And the earth, we got God the Father starting off there. Verse 2, and the earth was out form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And here we go. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And that's kind of interesting here. You've got God the Father. You've got God the Spirit in verse 2. You say, well, you're reading into it, am I? Look in verse 3. And God said, verse 3, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. You notice a pattern? I want you to see a pattern. Look in verse 6. And God, what's the next word? Said, let there be a firmament. Stop there for a second. Go down to verse 9. And God said, verse 11. And God said, verse 14. And God said, verse 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly. Look at verse 24. And God said, doesn't say God did and God did. No, it said God said, and then it was done. Look at verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image. Verse 29. And God said. I want you to go to Psalm 33. We'll come right back here if you want to hold it. But Psalm 33. Psalm 33 and verse 6. Evidently, David believed the Bible. Psalm 33 and verse 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. You see that? By just simple words from God were the heavens made and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. All right, so the entire universe created by the spoken word of God. And that ought to blow your mind, because that means that the word of God is not just a sound, it's a person. Say, prove it. We'll come back to Genesis in a minute. Go to 1 John, all the way to the right. 1 John, just before Revelation, 1 John. Trevor and I were talking to somebody earlier in the week, some Jehovah's Witnesses, and what'd they say? Oh, they believe in Jesus. Oh, they believe in Jesus, but they don't believe it's God. Well, that's funny. They deny the Bible. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7. And by the way, their Bible didn't have this verse in it. Some of you may have one of the new Bibles. You may be missing this verse. That ought to scare you. Somebody snuck in there and took it out. You better hold on to every verse. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7. Bible says this. For there are three that bear record. They can testify in heaven. The Father. What's the next two words? The Word and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. So when God looks at, when God explains himself, he calls himself the Father, the Word, we saw it, and the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit there. And go to Gospel of John. This is 1 John. Go back to the left on John. John chapter 1 and verse 1. God said, in that acute way. I mean, that's just amazing. Look at John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Lord. Listen to what he, let's just put it. In the beginning was the word, was the God said. Okay, you see that? In the beginning was what God said. Keep going. And the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by who? By the word of God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Hallelujah. Look in verse 14. And what happened to the word? And the word one day was made and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The word, I mean, look, my words, I mean, I'm producing words right now, and you're hearing them. But what do they do? And what do they become? But God's word can create a universe and become a perfect man. Look what God's words can do. Colossians chapter 1. Keep going to the right. Find Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15. 15, 16, and 17. Your Bible says who? It's not a question. It's a he. He who is the image, speaking of Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God. What did Jesus say? He said, if you've seen me, who have you seen? You've seen the Father. He's the image of the invisible God. I lost my place. Where am I? Verse 15. The firstborn of every creature. He's the head of all creation. Verse 16. For by him, by Jesus, were all things created. Question. So when you read back there in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3, and it says, and God said, that's not just God speaking. That's the word of God, which is the second person of the Trinity in action. He is the word of God. You say, explain it. I can't. I just believe it. By him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. That means Jesus can't be created. Jesus is uncreated. Now, he was born as a man, but the word is God. So that's our Lord and Savior. Now, I'll show you something really cute. Look back there in Gospel of John chapter 1 again. I got to take you back and forth a little bit here. John chapter 1 and verse 8. Some of you may know this, and that's good, but you know what? The next generation needs to know this. John chapter 1 and verse 10. Watch this. He, Jesus, was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. I mean, some of these builders, You see these skyscrapers and stuff. I mean, sometime 30 years ago, 50 years ago, somebody got the idea to build the World Trade Center. Somebody got the idea to build the financial center in Malaysia. Somebody got the idea to build this building. And people coming in and out of the building all the time. And then the owner or the builder of that building comes in and nobody knows. That person designed it, paid for it, bought it, built it. And they don't even realize he's just walking in there getting a cup of coffee with the rest of them. That's what it was like when Jesus walked around. I mean, this is the designer of the universe, and Jesus is sitting down with somebody named Matthew. I mean, he made the world, and they didn't even know who he was. They didn't know him. Our Savior walked and lived and ate and slept and endured all the things we put up with here in this life, and no one realized who Jesus was just looking at him. If you saw Jesus, you wouldn't be impressed by him. He had no former comeliness that we should even desire him. And yet there he was, the creator of the universe, living, breathing amongst us. He was Emmanuel, God with us. Now, the fact is, God created everything with words. And God, there is great science in your Bible. I'm just going to stop for a second. It just blow your mind. Are you ready? Words are vibrations of energy. They are frequencies. Each sound you make is a specific frequency of sound. In music, vibrations in energy produce musical notes. On the telephone, do you ever hear those tones going beep, 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 beep? You ever hear those tones? Those are frequencies of sound. When you speak, they pronounce letters and words. And God uses here in Genesis chapter 1 vibrating energy to create everything and put everything in motion. And this is what they found out, about 100 years ago. They started maybe about 80 years ago. They started getting down to the molecular level. And you know what they put next to these little molecules and atoms? Little counters. And they would count. They found out that hydrogen atom is humming. And it would be, it was vibrating. An atom was vibrating. Then they go and they check helium, lithium. And they started checking out all of the atomic structures on the periodic table. Every one of them are all vibrating at a different frequency. How'd they get vibrating? What's an atom doing vibrating? Not just having all these electrons flying around. The whole thing is vibrating. All of creation at the atomic and molecular level vibrates. How did every atom in the universe, they put up radio telescopes and they listen to all the different atoms. And I tell you, the Bible says it's declaring the glory of God. It's telling you God's there. God's spoken to existence using vibrations of energy. There's a thing called in physics. I'm going to get really way out here. Ready? It's called string theory. Now, I know what strings are, all right? But this is what they figured out about 50 years ago. Well, I didn't figure it out. It's a theory, and it's kind of way out there. But you know what? When they look at electrons and protons, they figure they're just strings vibrating like a violin. Now, that was an unsaved, probably an ignorant scientist who came up with that. And what are they coming up with? Words. The vibration that's in this universe that they think a string theory, like pulling a guitar. That all of our universe is just bunches of strings all vibrating at different frequencies. I don't know what it is. I'll tell you this. Science is finally catching up with the Bible that said, God said. And he's big enough to affect the entire universe. Stars, planets, light, heat, gravity, motion are the result of God speaking energy into this universe. By the way, Matthew 4:4. Take your Bible, go there real quick. How powerful is the word of God? Capable of making this entire universe. Wouldn't it be nice if we had a record of what God said? Wouldn't it be nice if we could hold in our hands a record of what God says, Matthew 4:4. Matthew 4:4. But he answered and said back to the devil who was doubting the word of God. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but we live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So, you know, I've got a pretty powerful book there. don't mess with it, amen. Don't you try to edit it. Don't change it, man. Just hold on to it and believe it. God created everything using words. And that's what sound looks like when you chart it across time. It's absolutely, computers have finally been able to chart that thing out. It used to be on a thing called an oscilloscope. You could watch frequencies and stuff. All they're doing is they're showing you energy in fluctuation, and that's what our universe is made of. And I have to remind you, God started with nothing. When you read there in Genesis chapter 1, there are some people out there that said that God created the universe out of himself. No, he didn't. He started from nothing. God called all things into existence that previously did not exist. See, pantheists and Hindus say that it's, and all these other religions, they say the gods, they would kill a god, and from that death came Gaia and the life and the water and the air and all this stuff. No. God didn't do that. God just said, I'm going to start with nothing and I'll make everything. That's God. Yes. Let me be amazing to you, but you try and do something with nothing. If I'm gonna do something, I have to start with something. All right, it's kind of cute. I'll use Gleb for a moment. He comes into church there on Wednesday night a couple weeks ago, and he's the entrepreneur. He's got a bag Coke Zeros. He said, "I got to do something for my class, and we got to show that we can make an income, we can turn over, make a profit, all this stuff." And so he says, each can €2, all right? Like, what a robbery, thievery. And he said, but I bought these for €1.70 each, and I'm going to sell them for two. I'll show them I made a profit. I said, okay. But you see what he did? He took money he had, bought something, and then did something with it, right? Yeah. That's what we do. God didn't need to do that. I always need at least 2 pennies to start with, amen? God started with nothing. Evolution always has to start with something. Huh. They have to start with a tiny little dot. I love the Big Bang Theory because it makes me laugh. It's called a singularity. Here's this little dot, no bigger than the pencil point on your page, in your Bible there. And everything, you, me, and the whole universe, squished inside that little dot. They have to start with something, okay? The Greeks and almost all religions believe that things came from older things, but God started with nothing. And he made everything. That's the wonder of it all. You, folks, we have such a little view of God. Why? Because we believe the storybooks instead of the Bible. I look at the universe and I see marvelously beautiful, complex, elegant design. And you know what's funny? God took only 144 hours. 6 days to do it all. I say that's God taking his time. You know, if you're rushed, that's a bad thing. Would you agree? You ever made something real quick and it didn't taste good? I just say God took the time. That shows he cares. And he actually is a greater reason. He did it so that on the seventh day, he'd say, now, when you work, you need to stop on that seventh day and just rest and worship me. So what's the point? Oh, by the way, that's a picture of the Hubble Space Telescope took about 15 years ago when it went fresh up there. That's a picture that it took 10 days with the lens open on that telescope up in space. And it just sat there and looked at a point of the sky, really tiny in the sky. And it let the light come in there for 10 days. Now, when you take a picture, it goes click. That's like 1/100th of a second. That's 10 days letting all the light come in. And there's 1,500 galaxies in that picture. You say, well, doesn't that disprove God? No, it just makes him bigger. Yeah. That's my God. I'm not afraid of telescopes. I had one guy, I showed him some stuff out of the telescope and says, I don't believe it. I'm showing you what is it. Look in the, I don't believe it. You know what that is? Stupidity. I'm not afraid of science. I've got 14 books on science. I read anything, but I believe my Bible. Okay? That blows me. That's cool. That is cool. And what's the point of all this? You say, where are you going with this? Next time you're sad about the kind of empty life you're bringing to God? I mean, if you and I were ever honest about our lives, we bring to God an empty life. You know what God says? That's all I need. If I can start with empty and make everything, I can start with you. Amen? Think about that for a moment. That's why I love Jeremiah 32, 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and thy stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. You see, when you have the right view of God, you can look at life and go, bring it on. Not because you're able, but because he's able. Are you with me? Anybody else awake in here? Yeah. I'm telling you, don't be afraid of Genesis. Don't say, well, I only want to read Romans, or I only want to read Revelation, or I only want to read Matthew. Man, read the whole book. It's all about God. Yes. Now, let's start, and I'm just going to deal with day one, all right? Genesis chapter 1. Let's go back there in verse 1. Actually, verse 3. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. You ought to underline these next words. And the evening and the morning were the first what? All right. Now, it says that things were made in 6 days, but is that true? What does it mean? As we talk, were they literal 24-hour days? But doesn't that conflict with science? Doesn't it disagree with the Earth being 4.54 billion years old, to be more precise? Well, I got three theories for you, and you make up your mind, all right? Number one, could it mean literal 24-hour days? Could it just mean what it says? That's certainly the simplest and most straightforward reading of Genesis. I like to read my Bible. You know what I do when I read my Bible? I just take what it says. Yeah. I don't go, well, God means this when he says that. Not at all. That's what all the other churches do. That's all the other religions do. You know what I do? That's what it says. That's what it means. I always start there. So God started in Genesis chapter 1, creating everything that there is, and then time moves through generation after generation from Adam to Abraham to Jesus Christ to us. And he covers it in just 6,000 years. I want to show you that on these charts that we go through as we go through the book of Genesis. Only to give you one chart. That's enough to chew on for a year. But if you look at this universe, especially at this earth, and you start looking at it really critically, that's okay. You'd say the earth looks a whole lot older than 6,000 years. And when God made the earth, I got news for you. It did not look brand new. Say, prove that, all right? When we go through and we see next week and we look at the trees are already grown and they already have fruit on them. You ever think of that? How wild that would be. I mean, which came first, the chicken or the egg? The Bible-believing Christian can say it. What is it? The chicken. And he already, or she, had a, she already had an egg in her. They were already mature. When you saw Adam, I give you one guess. He's 30 seconds old, but he looks 30 years old. So when God made the earth, it's 30 seconds old, but it looks 4.5 billion years old, maybe. Whatever number you want to put on it, it looks old, but it's not. It's called apparent age. So could it be literal 24-hour days? How about maybe really long days? I think it's really funny. Each day is a million years. Maybe each day is a billion years. Or maybe each day's one first day is a million years, second day is a billion years, third day is a half a million years. They do all kinds of things. But it's as if God created everything and then he had to use evolution to finish it. Now, I've met lots of people who believe this. I had somebody describe it. He said, God kind of just came to the universe. They're called deists. God started the universe, wound it up, and then left. And it's just been going down the road for the last 15 billion years. So for some people, they go, well, day one is the Big Bang. Light appears. Well, that sounds good so far. Day two, water is covering the earth and the continents. Day three, plant life appears. Day four, the stars appear, but they were always there. Day five, animals appear. Day six, man appears. But that's not how the Bible is written. Did you notice that? It doesn't say, oh, over time. It says, and it was the end of a day. And the evening, and then the morning, and there was another day. So there's another thing called the gap theory. And it happened, started back about 1800, in the early 1800s, where people started finding a lot of fossils, a lot of dinosaurs, a lot of dead things. And they come to the Bible, and they wanted to believe the Bible, but they also wanted to accept the fact they couldn't explain dinosaurs. And you know what they did? Let's go back to the Bible, and let's insert a gap of billions and billions of years. Look in your Bible, verse 1. Let's read it how it says. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Do you see a gap in there? But those who hold this theory read it this way. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and then the universe created perfect, maybe 4.5 billion years ago. It became filled with life and dinosaurs, people, cities, nations, wars, and sin, all before Adam showed up. And they all flourished for millions and billions of years, but it became evil. And God had to destroy it in a huge flood. Lucifer was judged. Sin was judged. And that first world died, and it became formless and void. And then God had to start all over again in verse 2. And that's why the earth was without form and void. First world was destroyed. God started over. If that happened, it happened in the blink of an eye, didn't it? I think that's sort of reading into the text. That's called eisegesis, and we don't do that. That's what happens when you try to fit the Bible into your own understanding. I don't need billions of years to fit into the Bible. I need the Bible. And I'll tell you this, evolution will finally be dethroned through science, and science will finally catch up with the Bible. It's always been that way. But maybe the Bible's going to tell us, let's take a look at Genesis 1:5. Look in verse 5. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. Notice those words, day, day. You might, if I said, will I see you during the day or the night tomorrow? Would you know what I mean? Okay, well, he called something the day, and he called something else the night, verse 5. In the evening and the morning were the first day. Look at verse 8. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the, we've now gone 2 days. Look at verse 13. And the evening and the morning were the third day. What is God describing? A rotating earth. Sunrise and sunset before the sun, by the way. But there's a time. There's 24 hours passing, evening and morning, not based on sunlight. Sun's not created until day four. But there's already a point of light there. It's the presence of God, by the way. And there's time. Verse 19, Genesis 1:19, going down there. And evening and the morning were the... All right, so if you're living 1,000 years ago and you're reading your Bible, do you think for 1 second you would say, in the evening and morning were the fourth million years? No. Anybody who ever read their Bible up until about 150 years ago, 180 years ago, would have just read, that's day four. Look down in verse 19. In the evening and the morning were the fourth day. We did that. Sorry. Now, verse 23. In the evening and morning were the fifth day. In verse 31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. In the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So we're talking about 24-hour days. And by the way, what time does God start with to mark the beginning of the new day? Not morning, but so every Jew who's a Bible believer starts their clock at 6 p.m. We always start our clock at midnight. That's Romans. The Romans made that time, but the Bible has time, the day beginning at evening, when the sun sets, 6 p.m. So it has the Sabbath. Every time you deal with a Jew who says, well, I got to get home for the Sabbath, they got to be home by Friday, 6 p.m., because that's when their day starts for the Sabbath. And that'll help you when you're trying to understand the 3 days and three nights with Jesus in the tomb, what time did time start? So what do you think? Did God create everything in just 6 days? Or maybe he recreated everything in 6 days. Or maybe God is just telling a nice bedtime story. Exodus 31. You're in Genesis. Go to the right. Find another scripture here. Exodus 31 in verse 16. Exodus 31 and verse 16. Exodus 31, 16. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign, verse 17, between me and the children of Israel forever. Why? For in 6 million years, no, in 6 days, the Lord made not a new heaven and new earth, no, the original. He made the heaven and earth. End of story. There's no previous earth. The heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Now somebody says, well, wait a minute. Well, wait a minute. I just don't agree with that. We'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I don't care whether you agree with it or not. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 19. Because there's one thing I've learned, and that is to not think that I'm smarter than God. I think God, as a matter of fact, I'll show you next week when we start looking at the creation events one by one. They're all backwards. Science says there was land here first and then water. What does the Bible say? God started with the water and then he brought out the land. You see that thing? So you say, what are you doing? God's showing off. He doesn't have to do it like you and I would. Watch this. 1 Corinthians 3:19. For the wisdom of this world is what? Foolishness. It makes God laugh. For it is written, he taketh, he traps the wise in their own craftiness. You want to come to the Bible and think you know more? You're walking into a trap. And he'll catch you and prove you wrong, and him right. He's always right. Folks, you're not stupid to believe this Bible. If you've ever done any scientific reading and study on the universe, and you should, you would say, well, a six-day creation is hard to grasp, hard to get your head around. And you'd be right. But it's not unscientific. And it's not stupid to believe it. Jesus believed in creation absolutely. The Gospels depend upon all of Genesis being true, not just the last bits. The Gospel depends that sin begins with Adam, not in a previous age or an eon. It began with Adam. It began in the Garden of Eden. Neither the Bible is true from the beginning, or it is filled with just nice moral stories. We've got our memory verse this year, one of them, Psalm 119, 160, thy word is true from the very beginning. But the problem is, I wish I could convey to you how awful it is to know that the majority of churches, pastors, Bible teachers refuse to believe Genesis chapter 1 means what it says and says what it means. They don't believe it, and they refuse to even teach it. So we wonder why generation after generation grows up wondering, am I a girl? You know why? Because we don't teach Genesis 1:27 that God made male and female. Yes. We don't teach it as true. Shame. Absolute shame. All right, so let's let God show us how he created everything. We're going to look at day one. Look back there in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. See, I have to do all this because most people have just, they come into church, and most of you are just normal Joe Soaps. You come in, and you bring everything you've heard all week long, all your life, sitting down to the Bible. And you don't realize you got to be deprogrammed and start to just take it for what it says. And it changes you when you believe it, not when it makes sense. Can you write that down? Trust the Lord with all thy heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. So, now, it doesn't mean you just become stupid. But if you can't figure out something, the best thing to do is go, he's right. He's right. So let's look at day one. Let's read that verse 3 to 5 again and just go through this thing to show you day one. And then we'll be finished. Verse 3, and God said, let there be light. Isn't that wonderful? 4 words in English, 3 in Hebrew. That's really cool. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. God divided light from the darkness. He made it different. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. So on day one, God said, let there be light. I like day one. I like that phrase. You ever hear anybody say something like from day one? Or they'll say on day one. They got that from the Bible. This is day one. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. It's important to understand the first thing that God wanted to do was replace the darkness. And I like that. And shine upon this messed up ball of dirt and water. He wanted to bring light into that situation. Notice there was no creation of darkness. Did you notice that? Because darkness is not a thing. It is the absence of light. Cold doesn't exist. I know you ladies believe cold is very real. And it is. But cold is not a thing. Cold is the absence of heat. And stupidity is not even a thing. It's the absence of common sense. Okay? Here was God saying, let's bring some light into this thing. What a glorious statement. Let there be light. And that was before God ever made the sun. Before he ever made the moon, the stars, or electricity, God created light. And it burst into this dark, empty universe, and it must have been beautiful. When God says, ooh, that's good, he's saying, oh, that's beautiful. Now, again, I guarantee all of us appreciate light when it's dark. If you've ever been in a very dark room and then somebody turns on a light, you go, ah, it just lifts your spirit, doesn't it? So what is light? Again, I'm going to tell you, light is part of that vibrations. Light is not a thing. It is a frequency of energy. Now, there's a spectrum here. Have you ever seen a prism? Okay, now, a prism is really cool. We had it when we were in school, and you'd point it there'd be a mirror, and you would point the sunlight straight at the prism, and out would come red, orange, green, yellow, blue, indigo, violet, seven colors, not six, by the way, seven colors coming out of that prism there. And there was all the components of light at different frequencies. And he made a full spectrum of what we call the electromagnetic spectrum. So when you look at that, those sequence of colors there, that's only a part of what's actually there. There is stuff going on both sides of that. It's called the electromagnetic spectrum. And things going on right now, what we see is white, yellow, blue, green, da, 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 da. That's a small little part of a spectrum of frequencies, starting with gamma rays, x-rays, ultraviolet. How many of you want to go to the beach and sit without sunscreen on, without sunglasses, stuff like that? You wouldn't stay very long because, not because of the sun, but because of the ultraviolet light coming from the sun that you can't even see. Then you got infrared. Oh, everybody loves the infrared. Microwaves, stay away from those. And normal radio waves and television rays and so on and so forth like this. All of that is happening at the same time. That is light. In John chapter, I want to say that that's pretty cool, but there's a light you'll never see. Not without God. Look at John chapter 1. Gospel of John chapter 1. Gospel of John chapter 1. Remember we talked about Jesus being the creator and he's walking among people and they didn't even know who he was. You know what Jesus was when he walked in this world? Look what it says. John chapter 1 in verse 5. Well, let's look in verse 4. In him was life and the life was the and the light shineth in darkness and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, is he talking about physical darkness? No, he's talking about a spiritual darkness inside everybody's heart. They couldn't see the light. They were blind, the Bible says. Go to John chapter 8. Gospel of John chapter 8 and verse 12. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you, your eyes can deceive you. Number two, you don't even need them. You need faith. You need to believe in something you can't see in order to be saved. I'll show you this. Look at John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness anymore, but shall have the light of life. I'm the light of the world. You'll never have life until Jesus Christ, the light of life, is in you. And you can't see him. Just like you can't see microwaves and x-rays and gamma rays, there's another light that is even more powerful than all that, and that's the light that God started in verse 3. Let there be light, and boom, there it was. Now, anybody notice how God created light? How did he do it? He set it into existence. Again, it goes back to the word. Light energy did not create sound. Sound created light. Here we go again, man. Think about it. God used words to shape and form and create everything. Can I be real plain? Let it shape and form and fix everything in you. If you'll let that book speak into the darkness of your heart, into your past, into your future, if you'll let the word of God get in there where there's only darkness, it will bring light. It will change. We're born again, not of corruptible words, not of corruptible seeds, but by the word of God. The eternal word of God brings new life to us. Don't you forget what you hold in your hand and what you neglect every day of your life. The power to bring light. You say, I got a home that's all messed up. There's nothing but darkness. The music everybody's listening to. The attitudes everybody has to. I'm going to tell you this. Bring light into it. You just don't put more LEDs in the house. Bring the gospel in. Bring Christian godly music in. Bring conversations that honor and lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, the power of this book can humble grown men, can convert sinful men, can encourage broken men, can feed hungry men, can save entire nations, and it can judge entire nations. That book does it. That's why we preach it. That's why we put them in gospel tracts. We hand it out. That's why it's preached on the street. It's preached door to door, because it is the word of God. And God says, there it is, in the beginning, God created. I mean, how what would it have been like? You couldn't have stood there. If we had been there at creation, we would have incinerated. That's the power that was there. So God says light is good. And he didn't say the darkness was good, by the way. Isn't it funny? Everybody wants to turn down the lights when they start the music and they start the dancing and they start the close dance and stuff. They turn down the music. I mean, they turn down the light and stuff. And they turn the lights down in the pubs and they turn the lights down. Why is that? You know what the problem with me? Let them do whatever they want. But when they start turning the lights down in church, that bothers me. Because light is good. Well, maybe you've never been to some of these churches. But majority of churches out there, get rid of the light, get rid of the Bible, and it's just entertainment, and it's wicked and perverse. Folks, light is good. And if I had my druthers, I'd open up this entire wall and make it a window. It's just, I love light. Light is good. Darkness is powerful. Have you ever been afraid at night? Because you couldn't find the light. Maybe you could hear a sound. I mean, Nita always pushes me out of bed. After I've tried to push her out of the bed, when there's a sound downstairs. And I mean, you have to go downstairs in the dark and all this stuff. Light is good. Darkness is powerful. But what does God say in chapter 1? He says, light is better. Would you agree? You remember what your light was before? You were darkness, Paul says. I don't have time to go through all the verses. Ye sometimes were darkness. Now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Folks, light is much better. If you come to church, having the hassle, reading your Bible, making time for prayer, praying for your family, praying for your pastor, handing out gospel tracts, if that is cumbersome to you, then you don't remember what it was like living in darkness. Because I remember what it was like being lost. I much prefer the light. And I guarantee you, I get tired trying to do everything I'm supposed to, but I wouldn't trade it for the world. Light is better. Light is good. You know, one day there's going to be a time where there'll be no more night. Amen?
Amen.
I'm looking forward to that day. Right now, sometimes you got to go through night. I mean, persecution comes, lose your job, you lose your health, and night sort of seems comes around you and everything. Just know this, there'll be a day where there'll be no more night. Hallelujah. All right, so light is good. And that ended the first day. Isn't that cool? The evening and the morning, verse 5, were the first day. And all he did was he just turned on the light. Now, that sounds like so simple. But he spoke, folks, let me tell you, this universe, if you scientifically, he put all the energy into this universe so it could operate. And that's a lot of energy. And he said, that's enough for one day. What a day. And the evening and the morning came, and they'll start day two next week. Next week, man, next week, Genesis is going to strive day by day what God created. And he's mainly going to focus on living things. You know, if you ever build a house, you could ever manufacture a car. Can you imagine how cool that would be? Maybe you built a rocket like Elon Musk. You know what God says? Build a family. Build a life. Build a home. Build a legacy. So God focuses on, yeah, I made the stars also, but I made you. That's where God focuses. You see, God focuses on living things. That's where his real pride and joy is. And wouldn't it be good if we just looked at this world and says, there's a lot of things that are made by man. I want to focus on the real important ones that's on souls, on my children, on my wife, on my husband. So let's finish this. Gods are made by people. All the gods of this world have to be made by somebody, even. And I'm learning about AI and I'm learning all that stuff. But you know what people are calling AI? A god. The gods. Because they're pretty powerful. They're pretty amazing. But they always have to have people make them. You ever notice that? But there's one God that made everything, including you. You're not an accident. You may be trouble. God made everything, and that was just the beginning. You being born and part of the 21st century. Folks, listen, you being alive today is not an accident. It is a miracle that you're alive and you're here. There's a reason why you're here. You have an eternal purpose, and you have infinite value to God. I tell you this, what got me, you could tell me the gospel, you could tell me about creation, you could teach me about science all day long. It didn't move my heart until that woman, Maureen Smith, told me, God wants you. God loved you enough to take your place on the cross, to let you go free and to be forgiven. When I realized I was that valuable to God, that got me. The truth is, there's something broken inside of each one of us, marred because of sin. And the only one who made you can fix you. I mean, maybe you need to go to a counselor. Maybe you need to talk to some doctor or whatever. Amen. Get some help there. But in the end, you're going to have to go to God and say, God, there are things that no human can fix. And you made me. I think you know how to fix me. It's called being saved. And if you really want to know the name of the best doctor in the world, his name is Jesus. If you'll let him save you. I'm going to read to you 1 Corinthians 1. Just listen for a second. It is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, God says. I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent, the super smart. So where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish all the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. They couldn't find him. So it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So what have we done today? Try to challenge you to not just believe RTE and Discovery Channel and all this stuff, and to move and say, I wonder if God's right. And if he is, I got a lot of problems for him to fix, especially my soul. Would you stand and would you bow your head in prayer? The foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I cannot make everything make sense. I cannot come to you and say, oh, let me just explain it all. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please, just for a moment. If I could explain it all, I'd be equal with God. And that ain't going to happen. So I'm just going to believe it just like you are. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You start taking this book literally, start just believing it. you get more faith. And there's the faith to believe Jesus died for you and was buried and rose again in your place so that you could be saved. You know, what a wonderful term. God didn't want to make you a scientist, although you can be. God wants to make you saved, forgiven, a child of God. Are you saved? Jesus said, I'm come to seek and to save that which was lost. You know what the first rule of somebody who's lost? They need to admit it. I'm away from God. I'm separated from God from my sins. And I've been just foolish enough, and I have been, to just believe what the Bible says and preach it. Will you be foolish enough to believe it? So, Father, I ask that you would draw, as we've lifted up the Word of God, lifted up the very Son of God, would you draw a man unto him? Would you help somebody to just take a step of faith and say, I'm going to read this Bible and just start believing it because I need it. I'll just, if it's going to make a fool out of me in the world's eyes, so be it, because it's wiser than this world to believe you. God, I know the smartest thing to ever do is to humble ourselves before you and just say, you win. Lord, you do. I mean, you did everything to show us you can be trusted and you need to be today. So encourage your people. God, give us a good, awesome view of yourself in all your glory. Forgive us where we focus on the stars and the dirt and the flowers and the sunrise, and we forget the one who created it all. May we be in awe of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Grab your hymnal. Let's go to 204.